Let's get back to the Daily Tip with Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
And we are back. That's right. It's a Monday edition of the Daily Tip. In a few minutes, we'll get to Major League Baseball, our best bets from today's slate. But Jenks, we've been talking about my Europe trip and how I'm going to be in Paris as early as next weekend. So I've got to ask, I have been going back and forth on if we should go to the Louvre, because of course, it's one of the most famous museums in the world. And the funny thing is, how many memes have I partook in where it says, hang it in the Louvre? And now I have a chance to go to the actual Louvre. So we'll see if all of those pictures and all of those memes will actually be there. Because I always think of like the funny ones, like the picture of Yasiel Puig fighting the entire Pirates team. And everybody's like, put it in the Louvre. So now I have the chance to actually go there and see the most famous paintings and works of arts, works of art, I should say. So Jenks, do you think I should go? I'm normally not somebody who loves like tourist traps, but it does feel like there's a lot of cool stuff there.
Yes, you should definitely go. But here's the thing. The Louvre is not, as I know it feels like a tourist trap because everybody wants to go, but it's really not. Like, it is the Louvre. Like, you're going to see the Mona Lisa. You're going to see some sculptures. You're going to see an incredible amount of history and not just like a regular museum. Or it's not like, you know, when if you're on a cruise and they drop you off at some island, but you're on the island for a little bit and they're selling a bunch of trinkets and there's some cool stuff there, but it's definitely a trap where you're there, but you're not really experiencing what the island has to offer. I know we're talking about Paris, but really that's one of the more intrinsic things, one of the more inherent things that makes Paris what it is, the history and all of that, all of the different things you get to experience and see when you go to the Louvre. So you absolutely should go. I know it's a meme, but yes, definitely, 100%.
Well, because so much history is there too, right? Like, I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to go back to Europe, because it feels like, of course, we have the Native Americans, and of course, there were people here, but we don't have the structures that are still surviving that they have over in Europe. So it just has like an old world feel to it. So I am excited to see that, because especially where I live, like, everything's new, or at least new-ish. You know, most of the shopping centers around here were built in the last like 5 years. So I feel like it's cool to go to Europe and see all these buildings that have been there like for hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah. One part of it too is you're getting the history, you're getting the art, and you're getting the architecture as well, right? So one of the things that blew me away about Paris when I went was that it was hard for me to imagine how huge, like how large it is as a city. I mean, the architecture is massive and it's everywhere and it goes on and on and on and on. And that's not a knock. I couldn't believe how grandiose it was. And I thought, my God, if I wanted to take all this in, you just don't have the time to do it unless you're spending probably multiple trips there to really get into it. Certainly you can see the bigger attractions there, but yes, go to that and just take it all in. There will be a lot of people there, but it will absolutely be worth it.
Yeah, do you think I should ask the tour guide where Yasiel Puig fighting the Pirates is? Like, listen, I heard this was in the Louvre. Where is it?
Hey, is there a corridor down here? Like, where are all the memes that I keep reading about? Is there like a, can you just tell me where like the meme wing of the Louvre is? That would be awesome. Yeah, ask him that and see how that goes down. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, they'll be like, stupid American. I will be, you know, part of the stereotypes for them. I'm wondering how that goes too, because I've heard that like the French are kind of, how you say, stuck up and not super nice to Americans. How do you say stuck up? But I've been to France before. I just haven't been to Paris.
I don't remember that. I'm sure there is naturally some derision there when it comes to Americans, because you're going to see a lot of Americans there visiting Paris, as you might expect. But ultimately I think you just, you know, you blow it off and you know why you're there. And as long as you have that self-awareness, then I think you're fine.
Right, I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to see the Louvre, and I'm there to find Yasuo Puig there and the Pirates, my favorite painting. All right, speaking of baseball, let's get to our favorite plays on the diamond. Let's start off in Toronto. The Blue Jays hosting the Yankees. Toronto short favorites here, minus 115 behind Chris Bassitt, who's 1-2 with a 5.06 ERA on the year, a total of 8.5 runs. Luis Gil going for the Yankees. Jenks, I feel like I am smelling a first 5-under. I like both of these pitchers. The Blue Jays have kind of been hot to this metric. And plus, we talked about this last week. Chris Bassitt, when pitching at home, is way better than Chris Bassitt that we see on the road. Last season, his ERA on the road was a full 2 runs higher when pitching away from Toronto. Sabotage factor, though. The Yankees, of course, have the big bats. And with one swing, they can, of course, send your under home packing. So, Jenks, do you have a feel or a read here?
Well, that is exactly what I was going to say, which is I want to go under here because Heal has been great. Bassitt, as you mentioned, much better when playing or pitching at Rogers Center. But then I also, this is just going to be a no play for me. And I think maybe I might back the Yankees here at minus 105. If you got a coin flip and you got Heal who's been good, then maybe just go with the cheaper price. But ultimately, when these two teams met earlier this season, two of those three games went way, way over. So I want to go under. Yankees are the best under team in baseball. Yet when these two teams get together, the over is hit thus far. I'm kind of all over the place with this game. So I'm just going to pass on this one. Maybe I lean Yankees. I can't get a good read on it, to be honest with you.
Well, if you don't like it, there's other games on the board. And then one final little tidbit before we move on. Chris Bassitt has been really good against the Yankees. Last year, went 7 2/3, scoreless in one outing, and 7 shutout in the other. So pretty solid against the Yankees, even though we know they have some new bats in that lineup, notably Juan Soto. All right, next up, let's go to the Brewers and the Padres. We've got San Diego road favorites here, minus 135 behind Joe Musgrove. And we've got Joe Ross going for the Brew Crew, who's 1-0 with a 1.80 ERA, total of 8.5 runs. So, Jenks, I think the question here is, which Joe Musgrove do we think we get? Because that has been the question so far this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Brewers. Money line, plus 110. I got to see something from Joe Musgrove that makes me think, all right, it's time to back you. Because I remember at the end of last year, we were backing Joe Musgrove on the regular, and he was winning us money, but he just hasn't shown it so far this year. And Joe Ross is – I didn't want to touch Joe Ross earlier in the year because, you know, this is a guy who is back in the majors, had a lot of time off, but he's been good. Thus far, 2 runs in 10 innings this season. Last time out, he was great against the Reds at Great American Ballpark. We know that's a launching pad. So I actually feel more comfortable with a sprinkle on the Brewers' money line here.
Well, surprisingly enough, the Brewers' offense has been better this season than the Padres. The Padres were kind of like that last year, in which they had all these big bats and all these expectations, but yet the run support didn't seem to be there. Their advanced metrics are actually pretty solid when it comes to WRC+. They're in the top 10, but the Brewers are in the top 5, the 4th best offense, according to that metric. So this one's kind of a pass for me, just because I feel like Joe Musgrove still certainly has that potential to have a good game, but I don't want to back him as a favorite. So we'll have to wait and see when it comes to Joe Musgrove and the Padres. Next up, let's go to Houston. Astros and Braves squaring off in what looks to be a good postseason matchup, but instead we get two of the lesser arms. No offense to these guys, but Atlanta is going with a bullpen game starting Darius Vines. Then for Houston, it's the young guy Spencer Arrighetti, who is 0-1 with a 21 ERA. Of course, it is a small sample size, a total of 9.5 runs. So, Jenks, how do we play a game between two absolute contenders when maybe they don't have their best arms throwing today?
I don't know. I think you take a team like the Braves. Braves first 5 money line, I guess. How am I supposed to handicap Darius Vines and Spencer Arrighetti, Chelsea? Can I just get this written into my contract where I don't have to do this ever again? I think I would fade Arrighetti more than I would backing Vines. I don't know much about Darius Vines, and I do know Eric Geddy. He is supposed to be the Astros like pitcher of the future, right? Like he was their minor league pitcher of the year last year, but in his debut got crushed by the Royals. 7 runs in just 3 innings, and now he has to face this Braves lineup that is loaded from top to bottom, a Braves lineup with the best average in all of baseball, a Braves lineup which is the 5th highest scoring team in the sport in the first 5 when playing at home. I guess I'll go Braves first 5 money line -120. Not my favorite play, but that's how I handicapped it.
I think that's probably the only play here, or maybe just the Braves on the money line for the full game, -120, just banking on the Braves bats being a touch better than what we've seen from Houston thus far. The Astros are still a good team and they still have pretty good like advanced metrics, but as far as runs per game go, like they have been kind of struggling. They're middle of the pack, averaging just over four runs per game. So this is an Astros team that's very much been underwhelming so far this season. And you can see that with their overall record. So maybe you just take the Braves, but overall not my favorite game on the slate. Next up, let's go to the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. We've got the Diamondbacks -145 at home behind Merrill Kelly, who's 2-0 with a 2.29 ERA. Total of 8.5. Ben Brown gets the ball for the Cubs. Jenks, it feels like this is a very solid price on an Arizona team that is really good. I mean, they went to the World Series last year behind one of their better starters in Merrill Kelly. No, he's not the big sexy name that you see from some of the like franchise pitchers, but still somebody who's been very good over his career and very good this year. So I think for me, it has to be Arizona in some way, whether you take him in the first 5 or in the full game.
Yeah, I'm going to play. I'm deciding if this will be one of my best bets, but I'm going to play Arizona first 5, right? Hard not to. You can get him on the money line at -145. It's not terrible. Merrill Kelly, 2 starts at home this season. In those 2 starts, 3 earned in 13 2/3. Even last year, he was great at home. So this is a trend we've seen for a couple seasons now. ERA of 2.59 in the desert. And when playing at home, Arizona is the best first 5 team in all of baseball. I think you go Diamondbacks first 5 money line there.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Again, I feel like the Diamondbacks still kind of creep under the radar as far as the best teams in baseball with really good prices. So I think that's a good one just because the price is good, they're playing at home, and the team's off to a decent start. Next up, let's go to Boston. Red Sox Guardians here. Boston -125, Cleveland +105. Total of 9.5. We've got Xavion Curry going for Cleveland. This is going to be a bullpen game. Facing off with Cutter Crawford, who's has yet to record a win or loss this year and has a 0.57 ERA. Jenks, is there anything you think bettors should know before betting on this game?
I'm going to go Boston. Another first 5 money line here. And so Xavion Curry is normally he's a reliever, right? But he's going to get the start and was pretty good in his last rehab start, AAA Columbus. Looked good, 1 run, 5 hits over 4 1/3. But again, he belongs in the bullpen. It's going to be a bullpen game for the Guardians. And Cutter Crawford, I'm telling you, if you look at a lot of his metrics, if you look at what he's done so far this season, I mean, he has been unbelievable. Giving up only a single earned run this season in 15 2/3 innings. I'm going to go Red Sox first 5 money line, and I believe you can get it at -140. So that's my play.
I still feel like the Red Sox maybe are a little overvalued at this point in the season because they've played some lesser competition. I'm not really buying in just yet. I will say Cutter Crawford has had a good stretch because his starts have not been against, you know, the worst offenses, or at least not all of them. He did have 5 shutout against the Orioles, which is actually a good one, had 6 punchouts in that one. But maybe the sabotage factor is he also had 4 walks. So sometimes struggles with command a bit. He had 3 walks against the Angels. I would imagine that this is not a Guardians team that makes him pay for it, but it's a crafty team that's good at stealing bags and maybe generating offense that way. So I think the Red Sox's favorites are still a little sketchy to me, because isn't that the name of the game in baseball? You are looking for teams you can trust. And it feels to me that the Red Sox are not quite there yet.
I mean, I would agree with you. And that's why I don't want to go full game here. Because if you look at the Pens here, the Guardians have a, a huge advantage in that respect. I know it's a bullpen game here, but Crawford, I think, is sort of one of those guys that as the season goes on, we're going to be talking about how he's in the conversation as one of the better pitchers, if not one of the best pitchers in the American League. He's really on that trek right now. So I'll take him in the first five. I think full game, that's when I get a little bit nervous because the Guardians are a deeper team. They are a better team. But in the first five, I'm going to roll Cutter until I see something different.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Especially with the Guardians, sometimes their offense can be a little pedestrian.